Willie and D. Mace, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Bingen in for Willie Donick. Derek Mace and Nick Frazier. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Titans win 17-13 against the San Francisco 49ers in their preseason opener Saturday at Nissan Stadium. And who better to discuss that game with the one, the only, Teron Davenport of ESPN and our lovely station. We're going to get to Teron. I'm really curious to hear what his thoughts are. So, Teron, let's start broadly and get more specific. So what was your overall takeaway of the Titans' performance against the 49ers on Saturday evening?
Well, I think it was a clean operation. They managed to minimize penalties. They won the game, so that's a good thing. But just execution and everything, I was impressed with the offensive line. I like the way they made sure Calvin Ridley got the ball. I like the way they ran the ball. So overall, it was a good production.
What did we learn about how the Titans are going to deploy their two-headed running back monster of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears? You know, it seemed like it was one then the other, one then the other. We've talked about this, Teron. Depending on the game, depending on how one is going, one may get the lion's share of the carries and may change week to week. But from what we were able to get a taste of in the preseason game, what do you think we can expect from that duo of Pollard and Spears during the regular season?
Yeah, I think you got a glimpse of the rotation. And if you notice, like that first series, they did almost every other play. So that was interesting seeing how that was, you know, executed, how they did that. Both runners, I think it's their style is going to work with that, because neither of them are the guys that got to get the ball, you know, 15 to 20 times in order to get into a rhythm. They're both like explosive runners, and they can kind of make things happen on limited carries.
Let's talk about the offensive line, because it's always going to come up in conversations about the Tennessee Titans. That first unit, I think they all played 14 snaps, I think it was, two series. You know, all things considered, I know it's a preseason game. The San Francisco 49ers weren't playing their A team, but as you said, it was a clean operation. You know, what stood out to you about the play of the offensive line, specifically J.C. Latham at left tackle and Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle?
Yeah, well, I'm going to mix in Peter Skoronski also, because one thing that I saw was the ability that they were getting people out the way. It's kind of like the reference, you know, where you refer to them as being bouncers, you know, and clearing out the club. And that's what they did. They were moving people. Now, J.C. Latham, he had one questionable, you know, one of the guys got up on him a little bit quickly and got him in his drop, and he was on his heels a little bit. But for the most part, I mean, you saw the one where he was able to get the guy down on the ground, and then you know he did well in run blocking also. So I think he was good. They were able to get a nice run. Nicholas Petit-Frere, he did a good job stealing the edge, and Pollard bounced it outside off of him, and he had that 24-yard run, so that was really good too. So I think there's a lot to be made from that game, and they'll just have to continue to progress.
We're talking with Teron Davenport, talking with TD on these airwaves. You can catch him also with Jared Stillman during the week, just, you know, kicking and talking about the Titans, giving his input and his opinion on what he sees with this Tennessee Titans team. Let's stick with the running backs. You just talked about the offensive line. I told Adam that, you know, and this is no slight to Derrick Henry, because I don't want anyone to think that, you know, I believe this run game is much better without Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a special player. But I think this running tandem is more dynamic at what they can do based upon the type of offense that Brian Callahan wants to run. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I think it's more dynamic in that they both are home run hitters. They're not the same type as Henry is, but the thing is, I don't think it's not as much of a setting up and you know, wearing a team down. I think you're going to have a few less, you know, runs for a loss, right? And that'll help. But then just the passing game also. That's another aspect where I think they'll, you know, kind of be different from what we've seen in the past.
Now, also, guys that sort of stood out in this game, we talked, you know, a lot about guys like Mason Kinsey, who had a really good game, Chance Campbell, guys like that really showed up big. Let's start with Mason Kinsey, TD, because obviously the numbers doesn't work for him. They work against him. But he's been one guy. If you take away the big three or the big four, let's just say the top five guys, you put them aside, and we know who those guys are, ending with Burks and NWI. But Mason Kinsey, what he's been able to do in practice, and my worry was, yes, he's great in practice, but I want to see him in a game. He did nothing for me but, you know, say, hey, listen, this guy deserves an opportunity or deserves a spot on this team if he continues to play the way he has been. Because what we've seen in practice the last couple of weeks, we now saw in the game this past Saturday.
Yeah, and I think what you could add to that is he added another element to where he's not just a slot guy. His first catch came on the outside. You know, he was backside isolated. He ran that slant. He jumped out. Now, I wish he would have ran through the catch, you know, because he might have been able to get you some yards afterwards. But, hey, I mean, at least he made the play and he got them the first down, and that was a good thing. And then he's just one of those guys. He's a juice guy. You know, he makes a play and he gets up and he's going to, you know, spin the ball or do something to get the crowd going, get the rest of the team going. And that's what he's been doing all camp. So it was good to see that transfer to games.
Now, we got a glimpse at what this passing game can potentially be, because I think a lot last year, TD, correct me if I'm wrong, last year I think it was the passing game was static. I don't think it was a free-flowing, moving passing game. But I think this passing game is going to be one that is free-flowing and moving. You saw Calvin Ridley catch the ball, get up the field because he had space. You saw Treylon Burks on the slant, get up the field, break tackles. I think that's what they want. They want an offense where they get the ball to these big body, big physical, fast receivers, Burks, Ridley, even D-Hop. But I look at Burks and Ridley because they have the speed. Get in their hands quickly and allow these guys to make plays.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The best example was that 3rd and 10. And if you remember last year, 3rd and anything longer than 5, it was, you know, one of those situations where you're like, uh-oh, something bad is about to happen, you know. But It was 3rd and 10. Levis had some time to hang in the pocket for a second. Ridley was running that crosser, and he did a good job just throttling it down and finding the window. It was a 7-yard catch, right? But he took it and turned it into a 22-yard gain, and it was first down. I think that was a good example of how this offense can progress. And then also a good example of Levis, hey, it's not always going to be there down the field. Just come off of it and hit your guy and take what the defense is, you know, the hole that appears. And so I think that's going to be something that's big from Levis and from the offense. The passing game this year is just doing that. Okay, it's okay to hit that same step because, you know, you hit a couple of those and that scores a run. But don't get it twisted. They're still going to shoot for that home run because that's something that Levis and Ridley are continuing to work on.
Now, you saw the aggressive nature from the defense. You saw Denard Wilson's personality come out in the defense, whether it be, you know, again, Chance Campbell, Brownlee, guys like that, the linebackers, you know, splitting A gaps and getting into the back of the field. I think the first play was a blitz, and they were able to disrupt
it.
Yeah, Kenneth Murray able to to disrupt the offense. Is this the type of defense that you believe we're going to see, and even more, because this was a preseason game and the starters weren't in there, but once the starters are in there, the way that they're playing defense with the aggressive nature, this is going to be exciting to watch. It's sort of reminiscent to, you know, Tennessee Titan football in 1999, 2000, when their defense was aggressive under Coach Williams and they were blitzing from everywhere, and we got interceptions and turnovers because of that.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, Denard Wilson, he cut his teeth under Greg Williams. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a very similar type of attacking, you know, this is my house and I'm a protected type of mindset. And what I'm looking forward to is wrapping the covers, like layering the covers mm-hmm. behind that. You know, when you have a Chidobe, a Woozy, and a Legarius Sneed, you know, locking down on the outside, and McCreary, you know, causing that chatter from the nickel, I think that's going to be something exciting. But he showed that, you know, they're going to attack. I mean, you look, the one time James Williams, I thought he might have, he almost caught a body where they blitzed Matthew Jackson, and he blitzed right behind him, and he hit the quarterback, and it was a third down. Chance Campbell, you know, made the tackle for a minimal gain in front of the sticks, and they had to punt. But, you know, that's something else that you see. It's not always going to be a sack. Other times it's going to be, you know, ringing his bell and then making the quarterback have something a little extra to think about the next time he has to stare down that pass rush.
Teron Davenport joining us here on Willie and D. Maestron. Let's talk about some of the other backup battles. After Will Levis had his two series, we saw Mason Rudolph. We saw Malik Willis. They go about their jobs very differently. How would you evaluate Rudolph and Willis and their performances on Saturday, and where do you think that backup quarterback battle stands currently?
Yeah, I think Willis is still behind Mason Rudolph. Now, Mason Rudolph had a chance at a touchdown to Stelianos, man, but on that corner route, but he threw it just a little late, and then that led to him not being able to get that foot in. But he did make some other good throws. I think that, again, the execution, the operation and everything, no delay of games or anything like that. So that's positive. Willis made a really, really good throw. Unfortunately, Bryce Oliver didn't get lined up, but he hit him on a corner route also, like a deeper outbreaking route. It was a dart that he threw to him. And I think overall, there were times where he had to flee the pocket, and he did what he normally does, you know, takes off and run. He had a good run there. But I like the way he hung in the pocket at times, too, and made some throws. So I think they showed well. But, you know, as Brian Callahan said, Rudolph hasn't done anything to warrant, you know, losing snaps. So it's going to continue to be that 2 and 3 for Rudolph and Willis.
And how about the running back 3 battle between Hassan Haskins and Julius Chestnut, both got a lot of work on Saturday. Where do you think that stands currently?
Yeah, I mean, they both ran hard. And Chestnut continues to be a valid option on that screen. You know, they use him a lot. Haskins, you know, I like what he brings to the table. I was impressed with, you know, both of those guys. I think they did a good job. And we'll see how that battle continues to play out. I think, as Brian Callahan said yesterday, it's really going to come down to, you know, the special teams aspect. And if they keep 4 backs, then they'll have to go short, you know, somewhere else. You know, maybe 3 tight ends, or how all that compares. And speaking of tight ends, I got to get a David Martin Robertson mention in there, mm-hmm. you know, because that comes into play with the running backs too, because he's a guy that, you know, he had a couple blocks that were really good, you know, so they can use him as a fullback. He's 247 pounds, so he definitely through that hole or leading for the running backs.
Before we let you go, Teron, of course, later this week, the Seattle Seahawks will be here for joint practices. Tensions could be riding high, not just because of Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, but the Seattle Seahawks are beating each other up at their own practice, let alone, you know, what could happen when they're facing another team. What are the one or two things that you are most looking forward to with the Seahawks at St. Thomas Sports Park later this week?
Yeah, you're right. The Seahawks are already running hot, so we'll see what happens there. But I'm looking forward to seeing it just, you know, that 2-minute period. I love when that high pressure, high tempo period. One-on-ones are always fun to watch, but I want to see, you know, Byron Murphy, right? Devondre Sweat's running mate at Texas. I want to see him going against, you know, those interior guys. How is he going to fare against Skoronski, against Cushenberry? I know if I'm Cushenberry, I'm relieved that I don't have to face Sweat this week. You know what I mean? So that's a good thing for him. So those are the types of things that I'm going to be watching for.
Now, TD, speaking of Sweat, what did you think of his play? Now, listen, the one thing that I was impressed by, I think the big fella find his footing in the NFL. I think there were some times where he got some push, but then there were some times that he got stalemated. But I was impressed with him being able to play consecutive plays. I think at one point he played like six plays in a row, and then was brought out and then came back in maybe two or three plays later. That to me speaks volumes, because this has been a thing with Sweat. Can he play multiple plays? Well, he's starting to show that, hey, listen, I'm getting to that point where I don't need to be taken out after two plays.
Yeah, I think he's shown that the conditioning is something that should probably be backed off of, because he's shown that he could play. And, I mean, he was doing that against some double teams too. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's going to be too many issues as far as him not being able to be a three-down player or have a low snap count or anything like that. And he showed it. And like you said, I mean, layering plays on top of plays, you know, three, four consecutive plays and still being able to go on that final consecutive play is a good thing, you know. And the big fella, I think he's going to be fine. And I just like the way that he's just moved on from the nonsense, from all the questions and everything else. And there's still, he has to prove it in games, though. He has to produce. Like, you know, he didn't get any pressures, any sacks, any tackles or anything like that. So, I mean, you still want to see that happen. So it's not all the questions aren't fully answered, but he's doing a good job of, you know, directing people towards them, everything being all right.
Teron Davenport of ESPN.com talking with TD, the TD Power Hour, every week on Stillman & Company. Teron, thank you so much. We look forward to hearing more of your analysis later this week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Yep.
Thanks, Teron. That was Teron Davenport. I've mentioned this to Teron. We did a show a few weeks ago and when Jared was still on vacation. I love when he and Jared get together, because Teron is one of the few people I feel like that can put Jared in his place. He absorbs the nonsense. He's cool, calm, collected. He's one of the few people that can get Jared off of those flights of fancy that
he tends to get into.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll hear plenty of that starting at 2:00. But William D. Mace rolls on. We'll react to what Teron just said. Coming up next, Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick today. Derek Mason, ESPN 125-1063, The Game.